If we could all stand again, a few of your Bibles, we're going to go to Psalm 104, verse 1 to 5. Thanks to the Weirs for helping us out this morning. Appreciate them and all that they do. Psalm 104, 1 to 5, and I'm just going to read this. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be moved forever." This psalm is called the creation psalm. As you read through it, it goes through pretty much Genesis chapter 1. But we're going to focus on a phrase in verse 3. And it says, "Who maketh the clouds his chariot?" And so let's pray once more together that God would speak to us through his word this morning. Jesus, hallelujah, God, we again come to you, and God, we're so grateful and thankful that you're here with us today. And God, I pray as we minister, Jesus, I pray that your word go forth with clarity. I pray that you would speak directly to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, that you would encourage and lift up your church. And God, I pray you would do something miraculous in our midst today. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you. God, let your will be done. Continue to work, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, "Amen." Amen. I never did that before. I didn't think you'd do it. You can be seated if you like. I laugh at myself, but I'm going to do a little something different. Lately, I've been listening to some preaching because sometimes I need to be preached to. I got to listen to me all the time, which I know what I'm going to say, so. Generally, listen to some good old preaching, not that nonsense feel good TV preaching. But I found myself listening this past week to a message preached from the pastor I had growing up, Brother Goddard, who, in my humble opinion, is probably the best preacher I've ever heard. You can't change my mind on that, so don't even try. But that's how it is. And I had the weird thought that, like, these kids growing up, that's me to them, which is, I don't want to think about it too much, because that's, like, crazy. But, I don't know, I was listening to him, and I preached a message. What I'd like to do this morning, I'm not going to preach his message, but just thought I'd give credit to, or credit's due. The idea came from that. And I believe it's something that we all, someone here needs to hear today. So it's going to be Ryan Shepherdized. Of course, with the main idea of the text, I did borrow from him, which happens sometimes. And I just thought I'd get that out there. If you want to hear him preach it better, feel free. I'm calling it A Chariot of Clouds, but I almost called it Cloudy with a Chance of Miracles. But I think I might keep that one for a different message, because that's a good title. But clouds, man, like, to us, clouds are bad, generally, right? I grew up in an area, I've told you before, but all the fog, and there was very little sunlight. The clouds and the fog were there all the time, and we'd have maybe 3 days of warm, sunny weather in the summer, which... not the same here. First summer, I thought we were going to die. But, you know, we beg and pray for some sunlight, and maybe here it's the opposite. I don't know, but... But generally, we use clouds metaphorically to describe bad things, generally, right? We have clouds of depression. We're clouded by doubt. Some people say, "I was born under a dark cloud," or whatever. When things come clear... become clear to us, the clouds have lifted or parted, right? We let things cloud our judgment. Sometimes we refer to clouds in positive ways. We say, oh, you're on cloud nine. But even then, we're kind of making fun of someone, generally. No one says, I'm on cloud nine. You make fun of them when you do it. So, for the most part, clouds are seen as negative, foreboding things. Storm clouds, rain clouds. Winnie the Pooh, tut, 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 looks like rain. Most people don't look at the forecast and say, yes, there's going to be clouds today. Woo! Unless maybe you're out picking strawberries. Then that's nice. But generally, we're not excited that clouds are coming in. Clouds affect how we experience things. I've been fortunate or blessed or whatever word you want to use to have visited the city of Paris 2 times in my life. And I have seen beautiful pictures of the place. The sun shining, all the flowers, Paris in the springtime, you know, little pictures of the cafes and the bicycles and whatever. And just, you know, the gardens and the Eiffel Tower and everything just looks beautiful in the pictures, right? You've seen pictures of Paris. But both days that I've been there, both days that I have spent in that city have been cloudy, rainy days. 2 different times, years apart. And if you asked me what I thought of Paris, a world-class, famous city known for its beauty, I would tell you that I wasn't really a fan of it. Because of my experience, because of the clouds. In fact, I enjoyed everywhere else in France that I visited more because the weather was better there. The clouds literally have clouded my judgment of the city of Paris. And I'd really like to go someday when it wasn't. So maybe we could change that. Maybe someday whenever we're allowed to do things. But clouds tend to do that with us, both physically, metaphorically, and also spiritually. When we see a cloud coming, when we see a bad situation coming, see, we still refer to clouds as negative things. When we see this coming, we get overwhelmed. We get upset. We get maybe a little bit down in the dumps. That's what clouds do to us. There was a testimony given by a Chinese pastor at a conference in 1991 in the city of Brighton, England. And this man had spent 18 years in prison for his faith. You know, it's illegal there. And he was assigned the task at the camp because the guards didn't like this man because he was a Christian. And they gave him the task of emptying the human waste cesspool. And yes, that is what you think it is. And the guards were atheists, and they took pleasure in giving this job to this Christian pastor whose faith they despised. They just hated the man, and they gave him the worst job possible. And none of us would sign up to do that job. And this is what he said in his testimony. He said, talking about the length of the pool he would have to clean. It was more than 2 meters in breadth, 2 meters in length. It was filled with waste collected from the entire camp. And they wouldn't let him do it every day. They would let it get nice and, you know, ripe. And they would keep it there for a while until it was completely full, and then they would put it out in the fields to use as fertilizer. But because it was so deep, he couldn't reach the bottom to empty it, and he had to walk in to this, and they didn't give him anything except for a bucket. And he would have to scoop it out, and yeah, you guys are having a good time with this. All the time breathing in all that stuff. And because of where this place was and because of the smell and all of that, the guards left him alone. All the other prisoners left him alone. They were all away, you know, because they didn't want to be near the pool. And he said, so why did I enjoy working in the cesspool? He said, I enjoyed the solitude. In the labor camp, all the prisoners normally were under strict surveillance and no one could be alone. But when I worked in the cesspool, I could be alone and could pray to God as loudly as I needed. He said I could recite the scriptures, including all the Psalms I still remembered, and no one was close enough to protest. And that is the reason I enjoyed working in the cesspool. He said I could sing loudly the hymns I still remembered. In those days, one of my most favorite was In the Garden. He said, before I was arrested, this was my favorite hymn. When I worked in the cesspool, I knew and discovered a wonderful fellowship with our Lord. Again and again, I sang this hymn and felt our Lord's presence with me. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling in on my ear, the Son of God discloses. If I could sing, I would sing it. He says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share, we tarry there, none other has ever known. And he said, again and again, I sang this hymn in the cesspool, and I experienced the Lord's presence, and he never left me nor forsook me. And so I survived, and the cesspool, he said, became my private garden. And this man, he was in a terrible place, but it was in that place that he found God. It was in that place that the presence of God was more real to him than anywhere else. And we see situations, we see storms, we see these, we see clouds, we're talking about, as terrible experiences, and we see it as the fact that God has deserted us and that he doesn't love us anymore, that he's left us or he's abandoned us or he's forsaken us. This is what we think, but the Bible says that the clouds, it says that these storms, these events, these things that we look at as bad and terrible turns of events, it says these are the very things that God uses to come to us. The Bible says, who makes the clouds his chariot? God is in the cloud. He is in the storm that is coming, that you see on the horizon, the thing that you feel is overwhelming you in that situation that you are facing, that problem that is facing your family, that issue that you've been wrestling with, that sickness, that bad news, that cloud. He makes the clouds his chariot. He may not have brought the storm. He may not have caused this thing to happen. He may not have brought the sickness or the bad news, but it's not stopping him from coming to you today. He's riding on that cloud. With every cloud that comes your way, with every storm that you face, there is a God riding that cloud. There is a God who is in the middle of that situation. So instead of looking at the cloud, you know, how we have been for a while, being upset about it, instead of letting it overwhelm you, instead of believing the lie that God's abandoned you and he's leaving you on your own and he's forsaken you and God's given up and he's left you from dead, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Start looking up for the God that is in those clouds. He's made the clouds his chariot. He's using that to bring himself to you. And we've been living under a cloud for a while now with this COVID stuff. And it's been overcasting everything that we do and how we treat each other and where we go and everything. Our attitudes and all that stuff. And it would be easy to just look at the mess all around us and be overwhelmed or scared or depressed, but God is riding that cloud. In the middle of this, God is here. In the middle of all this stuff, Jesus is working. The Spirit is still being poured out. People are still being baptized. People are still being delivered. God is working. I'm going to sidetrack here with a couple of stories from clouds in the Bible. The first one, Noah. You know this guy. Genesis 9, 8 to 16. We'll read this part of the story. It says, this is after the whole flood and all that. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. So you know what's happened. The flood's wiped everything out, and God says this isn't going to happen again. I'm making a covenant with you. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generation. So it's going to keep going. He says, I do set my bow where? In the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and all the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. This is the first time that I found that a cloud is mentioned in the Bible, other than maybe creation. This is the story of Noah. Most of us are familiar with it, right? It's one of the Sunday school lessons. One of those ones. Yay, God killed everyone. There's animals, though, so it makes it cute. But people, they were incredibly wicked. The Bible says he was sorry he ever made them, and he's not going to start over when he takes Noah and his family and build an ark, and two of every unclean animal go in, and seven of the clean. They get in, and God closes the door, and it rains for 40 days and 40 nights and all that. And finally, the waters subside enough for them to get off the smelly boat with all those animals. And then God gives Noah a sign, and he says to remind him of the promise he's making that he won't destroy the entire world again with a worldwide flood. And where does he put the sign? We said in the clouds. And these are the very same clouds that have just destroyed the entire earth and everything in it. The same clouds that have been disastrous, not the same, but to Noah. Disastrous to the rest of the world. The clouds that had poured out for weeks and wiped everything and everyone out. Because, no doubt, the next time it started to rain, I think Noah and his family might got a little bit anxious. Right? We never think about this. But the next time it rained, I don't think they were out dancing in the rain. I think they were probably, odds were they were going to feel a little bit worried. Is this going to stop? Maybe we should get back in the ark. Right? Next time they felt a drop of rain, probably got a little weird feeling in the pit of their stomach. Probably felt a little bit panicky. But instead, God said, I don't want you to see these clouds as judgment. I don't want you to see these clouds as punishment. I don't want you to see these clouds and get overwhelmed and panicked. See where I'm going here? Because we see clouds coming and we get a little worried. And we see clouds coming and we start panicking a little bit. And we get a little bit overwhelmed. But God said to Noah, when you look at these clouds, instead of panic, I want you to see promise. God put the sign of his promise in the clouds. If I was a good preacher, I'd say, come on, somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying? When those storm clouds start rolling in, when that news comes, when the situation changes, when it looks like things are going to take a turn for the worse, when it looks like you've been abandoned, when it looks like you're being forsaken, look for the promise. He makes the clouds his chariot. These storm clouds need to remind us of the promises of God, remind us of who God is. God is the father of the fatherless. He's the judge of the widows. He's a friend of the lonely. He's a healer of the hurting. He's a deliverer of the captive. He's a light to the lost. God is love, and he's grace and mercy and hope and peace and protection, strength, justice. He's our Savior. He's our deliverer. He's our friend. He's our rock. He is a shelter from the pain. He is peace in the storm. He is mighty to save. He's a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's victor over death, hell, and the grave. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's sight to the blind, speech to the mute, sound to the deaf. He's legs to the lame. He's the voice for the voiceless. He's the lamb for sinners slain. He's the Lion of Judah, the master of the storm, seas, and the wind. He is the creator, the redeemer, the restorer, and freedom is found in him. That's what his word says. So instead of panicking when the situation arises, start looking for the promise. He's riding those clouds. He makes the clouds his chariot. Instead of looking at the problem, start looking for the Savior. those clouds could be a vehicle for a mighty move of God in our lives. Even though for the most part we see clouds as bad. Can you guys please stop? For the most part we see clouds as bad. And the 100 plus times cloud is used in the Bible. And the 550 times clouds is used in the King James. The majority of the times they are seen as positive and directly related to the presence of God. For some reason we've got it twisted. So when we see these clouds start rolling in, don't panic. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't get overwhelmed. The storm may be coming, but our God is coming too. And I said it before, I haven't said it in a while, but every situation we go through, every storm, every season of life, it's an opportunity to know Jesus better. We say we want to know him as our friend, but it's really when all of our other friends have abandoned us that we really experience that friendship. We call him our father, but until you walk through the valley of fatherlessness, we never quite grasp the meaning of that. It's in times of grief that we come to know him as our comforter. We can call him our healer, but when he heals us or he heals someone close to us, it becomes real to us. It's walking with him through these valleys or through these storms, as we call them, that we come to know him better. We learn that he's our shepherd when we finally let him lead us. He's our king when we submit to him. And I'm not saying he isn't all those things whether we go through it or not, but when we do, when we walk with him and we allow him to work, these relationships become real to us. It's one thing to know a thing, it's another to experience it. The book of Job, he starts off, Job's a good guy. From Job 1 and 1, it says, and there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed, that's a good word. He avoided evil. He just wanted nothing to do with it. He was a good guy. He lived right. He did everything right. Interestingly enough, Job is one of the books that kind of refers to clouds negatively. With all the things that he goes through, he sees them as negative, but in the end he changes his tune. But it's through this loss and this time that Job goes through. He loses his stuff, he loses his kids, he loses his health. His wife tells him to curse God and die. His friends come and they comfort him or basically tell him he's a worthless human being and he's a failure and it's all his fault. This is a time of loneliness and depression, and you know, he's like, I cursed the day I was born. Like, through all of this stuff, and he comes out on the other side in the last chapter, chapter 42, verse 5, it says, I've heard of thee. He's talking to God. He says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He said, I've heard of you, but now I see you. I've heard of you, but now I know you. I see you. He's closer to God after going through what he's gone through. It was going through that stuff that deepened his relationship with God. And if you notice, if you read the book of Job, God didn't cause the stuff that happened to Job. That wasn't God that did it, but he used it. I'm not saying God causes these things to happen, these clouds to come, but he can use them. The clouds are his chariot. And what the enemy means for evil, God can turn it into good. We've talked at length before about grief and lament and how if we allow it, it can be used as a tool to lead us closer to Jesus. And I don't know everything that everyone is facing or going through today. Some people tell me, some don't. Some over-exaggerate, some undersell. Sometimes you have to read betwixt the lines. Sometimes you gotta guess. I don't know everything that everyone's facing, but I just want to tell you this morning that that cloud, that storm, that situation that may be hovering over you, those clouds can be the chariot for God Almighty to come in and to work. When we see the clouds, we see the storms, we tend to get upset and we panic a bit and we avoid the things. But if we're willing to look beyond the clouds, we will see the promise of God instead. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. I didn't give these to you, Cheryl, so don't worry. Don't panic. I will never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28 and 20. And lo, I am with you always. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. Says, when we are weak, he is strong. These are promises from God. Exodus 14 and 14, he says, hold your peace and God will fight for you. Romans 8 and 28 tells us that all things work together for good. For them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Isaiah 43 and 2 talks about going through waters and rivers and fire. And he says, I will be there with you. Isaiah 54 and 10 says his love won't be shaken and he will keep his word. And Isaiah 54 and 17 says that no weapon against us will prosper. James 4 and 7 tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. 1 John 1 and 9 tells us if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. Many, 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 many more promises are in the Bible. That was just a few I pulled out. And these are promises we have. And when the clouds are coming, we can look and we can look to these promises and say, well, I know that he's never going to leave me. I know that he's going to come through. I know he's going to keep his word. I know all these things. We look for him in the cloud. Faith has nothing to do with the chariot, but has everything to do with who is in that chariot, and that is Jesus. We don't have faith in the clouds. We have faith in who is riding them. When God showed up in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, he came in what? Cloud. It was so thick that the priest couldn't minister. When Moses went to Mount Sinai, God showed up in a cloud. When Jesus and his disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a cloud. When Jesus ascended, where did he go? Into the clouds. When he's coming back, where are we supposed to look for him? In the clouds. He makes the clouds his chariot. We've been talking about walking in the Spirit a lot lately. We can look at the clouds and we can see clouds of depression and clouds of sadness and clouds of all kinds of negative things, and we can miss what's happening in the Spirit. And these clouds, when these clouds reveal themselves, we can get caught up in them. I want to encourage you today to look at them in a different light. Because when these clouds start rolling in, it means that God is about to do something in our lives. They're markers that God is going to do something supernatural. The clouds have been hanging over you, and life has been storming, and things may have been feeling a bit overwhelming, but all of that means is that God is about to do something in your life. He makes the clouds his chariot. Have you allowed the clouds hanging over your family and your life to discourage you? Have you been maybe trying to pray the clouds away? We do that, right? God, take this thing away from me. Paul did it. I got a thorn in my flesh. Take it away. 3 times he tried. And then he realized that it was through that God was going to show himself strong in his life. We try to pray the clouds away and pray the storm away, but it's through the clouds. It's through that stuff, the things that we go through, that he shows himself real in our lives. I just want to encourage you today to look at it differently, because Jesus is here and he's working. Stop trying to pray the cloud away and start praying for God to have his way. It's my nice rhyming. I just ruined it. Stop trying to pray the cloud away and start praying for God to have his way. When the clouds start rolling in, don't panic. Let him in, because Jesus is in it. Find him. God is never going to send an empty chariot to your house. So when the cloud shows up, know this, that Jesus is in it. Jesus is here today. So we're going to open the altar up. We're going to take some time and pray if Brother Weir is able to come and play something. As we take some time and pray today, I wonder if we could look for Jesus in the clouds that may be hanging over us today. I wonder if we could ask him to work. I wonder if we could ask him to move and trust him and don't panic. Like Noah, look for the promise that's in those clouds. Hold on to the promise, because when we get through this, like Job, our relationship with him is going to be that much deeper and richer. He's trying to do a work in the middle of the cloud, but we've got too busy looking at the clouds. We've got too busy worrying, and we need to get back to trusting Jesus. He's never let us down before. So I was listening to a lot of preaching. One of the preaching messages I listened to was from Sister Nona Freeman, if you know who she is. Just telling stories about how Jesus is our friend. She says, we all see ourselves as children of God, and that's fine. And children have a certain relationship, but she said, when my daughters grew up, I found myself one day, we were at a conference, we were hanging, we were talking as friends. They're still our daughters, but they're friends. And a lot of us, we want to stay children. We need to grow up in that relationship and let him be our friend. And when he's our friend, we trust him to do it. When we pray, we give him whatever that is, and we don't need to nag him, right? Just let him, give it to him and let him work. So when the clouds are coming, like, Jesus, I trust you. I'm just going to let you work. I'm not going to worry about the clouds. I know that you're in it. I know that you're doing something. I know that you're working, and I'm going to let you do it. But we get so panicky. We just start nagging and nagging. God, we're going to do something. You got to do something. God, you got to do something. You got to do something. We wouldn't do that to a friend. Right? I said, Steve, I need you to do something at my house. 2 minutes later, I call him up again. Are you coming? Yeah, I was like, are you coming? Maybe that's a bad example. You don't do that. So if he said, I'm coming, all right. I believe he's going to take care of the thing that he said he's going to take care of. And so with Jesus, we need to be able to do the same thing. If he's our friend, he's walking with us. He's in that cloud. We just, God, whatever this is, the situation that I've got, this is the cloud that I've got. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to let you work. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to get too preoccupied with the cloud, because I know that you are. And does that make any sense? And so like the Chinese pastor we talked about at the beginning, turn that situation into a garden where we can meet with Jesus. So let's stand. I'm not going to quote any more preachers, but we could just stand up. I wonder if we could just take some time this morning as Brother Weir plays. Whatever the cloud is that's hanging over you, I know there's things going on in all of our lives, and there's things that we're worried about and things that we're stressed about. I wonder if we could just look for Jesus in that and just let him work and let him be our friend. And say, God, I'm going to trust you to take care of it, because he's in the cloud. He uses that to come and work in our lives. I'm going to stop. I think you got what I'm trying to say. Well, let's find a place this morning and pray. Pray that and turn the situation into a garden where we can meet with Jesus. In Jesus' name.